to his glory. So, beloved saints in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we are gathered for worship this day, Christ Jesus is our Savior, now exalted to the majesty on high. He made atonement for our sins, we who are his body, his church. He did so on Calvary's cross. And by his being received back up to his Father in heaven, his ascension, that's the evidence of his atoning work being fully accepted. Once exalted as the head of the church, Christ pours out on his church the equipping gifts by which his church, his body, grows into fullness in Christ. And that fullness is expressed in our text and also in other parts of Scripture by the church being built up, attaining to the unity of the faith, becoming as a mature man, so to say, growing up into Christ in every way, built up in the love for one another. Now, these equipping gifts, so his body is being built up, as Paul writes, those gifts are the apostles, evangelists, prophets, and pastors, teachers. It says pastors and teachers, but it's really one kind of person, a pastor who is, all pastors are teachers, so it's pastors, teachers. And they are, as Paul lists them, they are gifts from the head of the church, gifts from the head of the church for the purpose for its being built up internally. Every member, a part of the whole, the one body of Christ. So that every member, every part of the one body does his part so that the body matures in Christ and evidently and effectively witnesses that the church is the body that has been redeemed from the power of sin by its head, Jesus Christ, so that it might glorify the head, glorify Jesus Christ. So this building up of the body of Christ can also be put in the words of Romans 8:29 as the church being conformed to the image of the Son of God, which would be Jesus Christ. Again, that is growing up into him, maturing in him, growing to the stature of the fullness of him. That's what Christ wants for his church. That's what he equips his church to be evermore be, to evermore be. And the evidence of that building up, that maturing, is that all the believers that make up the church more and more demonstrate together in unity the characteristics of Jesus in their relationship with one another. And that's a great witness to the world. And what are these characteristics that are evidence of a maturing church, of a church being built up internally by being equipped through the preaching of the gospel? We show forth compassion, love, righteousness, forgiveness, selflessness, faithfulness, all in the unity of faith in Christ Jesus, the unity to which we are attaining as we're being so equipped. So by the gifts of the exalted head of the church, you, the saints, are being equipped to be built up, to mature in Christ. And that is all for the sake of your glorifying the head, glorifying Jesus Christ. Now, in the earliest days of the church, that talking about the apostolic age, those equipping gifts were the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists that Paul speaks about in our text in verse 11. These gifts were men who served in the laying of the foundation of the church. Paul tells the Ephesian church that they have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the main cornerstone of that foundation. So the apostles, as we ought to know, were men who were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And the prophets, he refers to men like Agabus, you can refer to him in Acts 11:21. They were men through whom God also revealed completing revelation of Jesus Christ. And evangelists were men like Philip and Timothy, who traveled with the apostles and the prophets as their helpers in laying the foundation of the church. Now, once the foundation has been laid, which is by their completing the scriptures with their testimony to the personal work of Jesus Christ, the foundation is laid. It needs not to be laid anymore. So the layers of the foundation have ceased their work. They're not needed anymore. The scriptures that they put down as the completed scriptures by the New Testament words are fully sufficient for our faith and life of faith. We need nothing more. We need no new revelation. We have what we need. It's fully sufficient. We confess that. So those foundational laying gifts of apostles, prophets, and evangelists, now there are still prophets and evangelists today, but they are not laying a foundation. They are going forth and preaching what is the foundation. Those apostles, prophets, and evangelists that Paul speaks of cease to exist at the end of the apostolic age. Now, in the post-apostolic age, which is all of the Christian church's history since the apostles, it is pastors, as they proclaim the sufficient completed scriptures, they are the ongoing gift of Christ to his church until he returns. The gift to equip the church so it's built up, so it matures in Christ its head, grows up more and more in its evidence that it's united to Christ. It's in union with him. It's his body of which he is the head. To effect Christ's purpose, to have his church mature in him, and that's what he wants, that's his design, to have the church grow up into him, to mature in him, to effect that purpose, Christ endows each member of his body, each of you who are believers in Christ, each of you is given gifts, some one, some more, diverse gifts, as we read from 1 Corinthians 12. And the use of those gifts that you have been given, your use of them builds up the church, because then that means when you use your gift, you're one of the parts where every member working together using his gifts is for the sake of building up the church, having it mature, having it be functional to the glory of Christ. Now, here's the thing. For you all to be able to properly use your gift, you need to be equipped to use it. You need to be equipped to use it. And the equipping is by the gift of pastors preaching and teaching the Word of God. Remember God's own testimony to the efficacy, the usefulness of his Word. 2 Timothy 3, a famous passage. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be, listen now, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Every good work comprehends doing the work of ministry that pastors equip the saints to do by the gospel. That is, serve the building up of Christ's church, for which we pastors equip you by preaching and teaching the equipping, all-sufficient Word of God. The saints, all of you, all need the solid food of the gospel, Hebrews 5. The solid food of the gospel is the gospel preached and taught by pastors so you become mature in Christ, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That's what Hebrews 5 speaks about. And that happens as your mind continues to be renewed, as you're equipped by the gospel. So you're transformed to do good, to be compassionate, to be loving, to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be encouraging, as we together grow into our union with Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of the equipping gospel taught, preached to you by the gift of pastors. Now, we should realize, especially in our day, that the very idea that a Christian is to be useful to the building up of the body, the church, that might not be so much the idea in the broader evangelical church. But that's exactly the teaching of the gospel. The ascended, victorious, exalted Christ Jesus, the head of the church, gave teaching shepherds, pastors, for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, which is the building up of the body of Christ, the church, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood like Jesus, growing up in every way into him who is the head of the church, into Christ. That's the purpose from our text right here. And that equipping, which is to be done to, needed by every saint, every member of the church, it is for every member of the church, so that every member is working properly to make the whole body grow to maturity in Christ's service. Everybody's involved. You're a member of the one body, and you all need to be equipped. Now, if you took a survey, and you know, maybe it's been done, I haven't seen it, but if you took a survey, you might well find that the emphasis, if you question people who profess Christ, the emphasis is on the individual benefits of being saved. Well, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, when the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ gave pastors their purpose, their equipping function, to equip the members of the body for the building up of the church, that's more than just, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That makes salvation in the context of the body, of the church. That's how we should think. And we should understand, too, that in our text here, the preachers that are the gifts of God in this post-apostolic age, their function is not to primarily evangelize the lost. I mean, many times, that's what people think pastors should do. We just evangelize. We preach, you know, believe, repent, come to faith, be saved. But here, Paul is not talking about that. The primary function he speaks of pastors is to equip the believers for service. To equip the believers for service. Now, of course, we should all realize that preaching the call of the gospel to repent and believe in Jesus Christ is always applicable for every pastor of every congregation. Because even within the congregation, there may be those who are not saved. There may be visitors who are not saved. But the pastor cannot be just focused on filling the empty seats. For Paul here is stressing the equipping of the already filled seats. That's you who are here already. We pastors are called to the ministry of the word. And so our function is not to do the work of ministry, but our ministry of the word is to equip you, the saints, to do the work of ministry. That's sometimes a kind of a foreign idea amongst evangelical churches, but this is what Paul is speaking about. You are to be equipped to do the works of ministry, to equip you to serve the building up of the church, that you may serve Christ in the building up of the church, in the maturing of the church, and it's becoming more a demonstration of Christ's compassion, mercy, love, forgiveness. That's doing the work of ministry. And this equipping of the saints, of you, is not by, you know, your pastor always coming with some new teaching. Ooh, that's what I need to hear. This is a new kind of thing that I can do. No, that's not it at all. The equipping comes not by learning something new, but by growing in your application of the truth you've heard, the gospel, to your life. It's the application that is to grow, your application of the truth. That's why you need to keep hearing it. You're being equipped to use it, to live it. So you should all think when you come to church to hear the gospel, which is what you come to church for, I hope, you should think, I am here to be equipped to serve. I am here to be equipped to serve. Now, of course, the equipping gospel, as the Lord grants you the faith to believe it, sets you free from the power of sin, puts you in a right relationship with God through your mediator, Jesus Christ, reconciles you to God, makes God your delight, so that then you are enabled and desirous and willing to serve the Lord, to grow, to desire to grow up into maturity in Him, to come to the fullness of the knowledge of Him, So that's bottom line, you know, the first equipping that is necessary. But all of us still need equipping, even as we have come to faith, so that more and more we as a body can exclaim together, "For me to live is Christ." That's where we are to be. That's what Christ desires of us. Because then we are witnessing the glory of Christ as we live for His glory. So the faith that justifies, that assures a fellowship with God now and forever, the faith that was worked in your heart by the preaching of the gospel through the gift of pastors, that's foundational to being equipped for the building up of the body of Christ. That building up of the body in the love and the knowledge and maturity, in the fact that we know that we are united to Christ by faith, that growing in that knowledge and that union of Him, that you have that union you have with one another in Christ, that is all so that you are becoming equipped to speak the truth in love. You have to know the truth. You have to know the truth more and more. Grow in your knowledge of Christ so that you're equipped to speak the truth in love, not only to one another, but also to those that the Lord might bring into the body of Christ. And this equipping process, beloved, is a process that will go on. It's needful for you as long as you live in your mortal bodies on this present earth. You're never done being equipped as long as you're still here. Now, equipping is a very interesting word in its use in the scriptures. In the Gospel of Matthew 4:21, Jesus sees brothers James and John in their fishing boat with their father Zebedee. And what are they doing? They're mending their nets. Well, they're mending their nets to fix what is broken, to make it useful to catch fish. And the word for mending is the very same word Paul uses for equipping the saints. And also, when Paul prays for the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he prays that he might supply what is lacking in their faith. And the word used for supply as giving what is lacking, completing what is not complete, is the same word for equipping. So when Paul speaks of pastors equipping the saints for the work of ministry, he means to make them useful, get them ready for action, prepare them for kingdom service. Perhaps one of the most helpful ways of understanding equipping is to make them what Christ intends them to be. So you're being transformed to be what Christ intends you to be, useful for the building up of the church to His glory. So your being equipped for your works of ministry means that you need to be fixed. You need to be repaired to make you useful. You need to have supplied to you what has been lacking. You need to be shaped up to be what you ought to be. Now you hear that, and that's rather humbling, isn't it? It's kind of, may even come across as offensive to our old man ego. Me, I need to be fixed. I need to be repaired. Well, when I started seminary, which is now eons ago, it seems, a wise pastor teacher told me that I was there to be repaired. Really? And to have supplied what I lacked. I was there to be made useful to God. I was there to be shaped into what I was called to be, so that the gift Christ gave me would make me a useful gift to the church. And that was a rather humbling truth to hear. And even though I finished seminary a long time ago, God has still been continuing to equip me, to shape me, to mature me in Christ, so that I might equip you, the saints, through the preaching of the gospel, to mature in Christ. So Christ continues to equip all of us so that we are useful to the building up of His church, to maturing in Him, to growing in our union with Him. And it becomes evident by the life of the church. So when you think of why God called you out of the world and made you a member of Christ's one body? Do you think of this aspect of salvation? It was to fix me and supply to me and conform me to Christ Jesus so I could be useful to the growth of his body for the sake of his being glorified by it. Do you think that way? Well, you should. We should all think that way. Christ has a purpose for his church. He made you a member of the body for that purpose, to equip you within it so the church grows from within to maturity, to his glory. Now, Ephesians, perhaps more pointedly than any other scriptures, helps us to dispel the rather common notion in Christendom that salvation is really all about me, the individual. You know, again, I've got a relationship with Jesus, and I'm saved from hell, and I'm going to heaven. I know a lot of people like that. You probably do, too. And church is just sort of, you know, not really an important part of their concept of what it is to be a Christian. I know lots of people who won't be part of a visible church just because they don't understand what it means to be a member of the body. So Christ Jesus' purpose for you is addressed to you not just as an individual, but as a member of his one body, the church. It's interesting when you look through the scriptures, in many places where the apostles are saying you, it's plural. They mean you, the church. They mean you, the body. So Christ's purpose is focused on gathering and defending and building up his church on earth until the day that he comes and glorifies it and takes it to be with him in the new heavens and the new earth. So the building up of his church takes place now. It takes place on earth. It takes place through the ministry of the local congregation by the gift of pastors as you are being equipped to be useful to the building up of the church. That's where God works by his word and spirit. It's where he gives the means of grace. Paul is writing to the visible church in Thessalonica when he says, the believers who are left alive when Christ returns, we will meet the Lord in the air in his return. And so we will always be with the Lord. The we is the church being glorified, the visible church, the believers in the visible church. He's addressing the church in Thessalonica when he says this. Of course, it applies to all the visible churches, all the believers. That's what we wait for. So you should think of yourself, based on the scriptures, as Paul describes you in verse 16 of our text, you are an individual member of the one body of Christ. You're one joint, one part that when it does its share, the body grows. It's built up. So in other words, a Christian is one being equipped to be a functioning member of the one body, the church. Functioning to have it be built up, to have it mature in its unity in the faith, to grow up into its manhood in Christ. That's what you are. You're one part amongst the many that work together to fulfill that purpose. And the truth is that every single Christian, every one of you that has come to faith, needs equipping. Everyone needs equipping. Everyone needs to be mended to fix what is broken in order to be useful. Because all of you, including myself, all of us, are still afflicted with our sinful nature. So brokenness still shows up in our lives because of our sin. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be mended. We need to be transformed, which is what Christ does through the preaching and teaching of the gospel by the gift of his pastors. So just to remind ourselves, I mean, we looked at that this morning in the catechism. Why do you and I need fixing? Why do you and I have needs that need supplying in order to glorify God, in order to have the church be built up and mature in Christ and serve him? Well, again, it's the old story of sin in Adam. Back to Genesis. that makes all of us, his descendants, depraved and broken people. That's what we are, apart from God making us new in Christ. And we are, in Adam, incapable, unwilling of serving God's glory. That's just the simple truth. That's how it is. We see it. We know it. And God created man for that purpose, to serve and to glorify him. But all that has been broken in us because of sin. So we need to experience God's loving grace and mercy in Jesus Christ by faith to begin with, to be made alive together with Christ. And again, that's a gift of Christ by his poured out spirit, to be made alive, to be brought to faith. But again, we're not fully repaired, we're not fully surprised, fully supplied, not fully prepared, not fully functional as we are called to be for the building up of the church, until we are being equipped, continue to be equipped, repaired, transformed by the preaching of the gospel through the gifts that Christ gave to the church, pastors, teachers. We all know, if you are honest with yourself, that even as we have received the saving gifts of Christ Jesus, again, by the faith the Holy Spirit works in us with the preaching of the gospel, even as we have received all those benefits, we are still prone to be selfish, prone to want to serve our own interests, prone to not be concerned for others, prone to not be compassionate to others, prone to prioritize our own interest above the body and the growth of the body. It's our default mode. So hopefully, the thought that you too need equipping by the gospel on an ongoing basis should hit you at times when on some Sunday you're, what am I doing this for? I could be being equipped. Should hit us at times. I could become a more useful servant of the body if I was being equipped, if I was where the equipping takes place. So until the resurrection, until you and I die and the old body of sin is done away with, we all continue to need equipping. It's just the reality. So we should be placing ourselves where the equipping takes place. Should be here. To hear the gospel, the equipping gospel. But the truth is, and again, this is something we have to understand, and we see it around us all the time, that we are still prone to have selfish expectations of the church. Why do I go to church? Well, is it for my own comfort? I want to hear how I'm saved and how I'm justified, and that's all I really want. Is it for my own pleasure? I like to hear the music I want to hear. I want to hear a message that helps me to get through whatever problem I'm having. I want to be uplifted by the church. And certainly the gospel is useful to our individual lives, for our personal growth in the faith, as we've said, for our hearty trust in the promises of God. The gospel is useful for that. But if your faith is all about you as an individual, that's a sure sign that you yet need equipping, mending, being made what you ought to be, that is to think of yourself and become a member of the body, useful to its growth. Because we are the one body of Christ. We are the living stones that are the building blocks of the temple, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that equipping, again, takes place in local bodies, in local congregations, visible churches, assemblies of Christ's called out ones to be united together in him. So we need to be equipped, and this, the local church, is where that happens. A local Christian, faithful church, faithful to the gospel. So, beloved, we do live our lives as individuals, in the sense that we are individually married to individual women. We have individual marriages. We live in individual homes. We serve individual callings that the Lord has given to us in this life. But as we are being equipped by the gospel, we live all of our lives, every aspect of our lives, more and more, first of all, as members of his one body. That should be our identity. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. And so in every aspect of our lives, for me to live as Christ should become more evident. That's why you need to be equipped by the gospel to think like that with your renewed mind and be transformed to think that way about yourself and to act that way as a member of the body, no matter what you're doing. We together, corporately, work together using the gifts God, Christ has given to us. So we do grow in our maturity in the faith, in our love for one another. And when we do, Satan trembles because he sees what Christ has done. There's a people who live for Christ, who are no longer enslaved to him. And so he tries to get us to divert us away from the faith that we confess. That's why we need to continue to be equipped, to be renewed, to be strengthened, so that, again, we confess and we live the kind of life that proclaims for me to live is Christ. Now, you and I give evidence of being equipped, of being made useful by the choices that we make. Do we offer needed, loving, merciful care to one another in the body when it's needed? Or do we, too busy, too occupied with my agenda? Are we compassionate? That's a sign of being equipped. Or are we unconcerned, uncompassionate, especially for one another? You can choose the building up in Christ fellowship of the church. That's a sign of being equipped when you make that choice over other activities, other gatherings, other societies and clubs and events, whatever they may be. It's a sign of being equipped. You choose the fellowship of the church over everything else. You prioritize your resources for the building up of the church. You're willing to use your gifts of singing, of hospitality, of giving encouraging counsel, of supplying a material need, visiting the sick and those suffering in the local congregation for the sake of building it up in Christ. It's another sign of being equipped. And to be equipped in the use of your gifts, which is what we need equipping for, to make them more useful, so you apply them to the building up of the body. My prayer as a pastor is that you look at your own life and seek out the gifts Christ has given to each one of you. Sometimes we see the gifts in others and we encourage those gifts. So look around and see what particular gift do I have? And then use it to work together with all the other saints to build up the church, to mature it in Christ, to show it as belonging to him by its love and compassion and mercy and caring love for one another. So, beloved, may you all continue to be equipped. May you put yourself where the equipping takes place, so that, as the end of our text summarizes, we may grow up into all things into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. May that be what people see when they look at this congregation. May you be equipped for that purpose by the preaching of the gospel, by the gift of pastors. Amen. Let us pray.